following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
Welcome to The Witnesses, where we share true accounts of people who have made a stand for God in this modern world. As always, this broadcast is dedicated to one of those witnesses, Mariah Dennis. We thank you for your stand. The title of this broadcast comes from Hebrews chapter 11, which is sometimes called the Roll Call of Faith. It describes some of the men and women in the Bible that stood on principle instead of taking the easy road. People like Abraham, Noah, and the three Hebrew boys whose obedience to God's laws in the face of adversity make them an inspiration to all who come behind them. We call this broadcast The Witnesses because inspiration doesn't come only from people who lived thousands of years ago. We can be inspired by many people that work and live around us. Their witness that people can still serve God is sometimes more relevant and convincing than those in the Bible who didn't face some of the same pressures we face in our daily lives. Today, we're going to hear from a man that learned the lessons that Solomon taught us in the book of Ecclesiastes, that life is full of vanity and that joy can only be found in serving God with the hope of heaven to come. He traveled many roads looking for purpose and the meaning of life, from college to the military to working in the medical field, but all left him still searching. It wasn't until he really gave his life to God that he found a real purpose in life. God's path for his life led him to use his skills to help a seminary educate the next generation of preachers, teachers, and lay people, not in the limelight, but in the background. He willingly took a back seat doing tech support and other tasks that were critical to the mission of preparing men and women to spread the gospel. There he found peace and purpose that eluded him for so long. Let's hear now from one of our co-hosts, Carlos Ramos.
In today's world, with the rise of AI and the global COVID-19 pandemic, careers in medicine and software development have never been more lucrative or respected. Consider this. The average physician in the U.S. earns between $200,000 and $500,000 a year annually, depending on their practice. And then on the other hand, a senior software engineer or coding specialist can bring upwards of $300,000 a year. And today on The Witnesses, we're going to be interviewing a brother who refused both those careers to answer God's call. Brother St. Clair. Highly skilled, deeply respected, and very much educated. He walked away from it all and instead chose a quiet role behind the scenes of a Bible college. This is not a story about loss by no means, but it's a testimony of a calling, of obedience, and what it really means to find purpose in life. But before we dive into this interview, let us hear from one of our co-hosts, who had a chance to sit down with someone who can personally attest of Brother St. Clair's commitment to God. On to you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Carlos. I'm sitting here with Reverend Labatt, a dean of our Bible college. Reverend Labatt, from your perspective, what can you tell me about Brother St. Clair?
Brother St. Clair has been a stabilizing force in the seminary. He's really a man in the background. He doesn't want accolades. He doesn't want praise. He just does his job. And that's very refreshing in a time in which it's hard to not just find competent workers who can do their job, but people that'll do it without any kind of recognition or without any kind of other motives besides just wanting to help. One of St. Clair's favorite phrases is, "I'm so thankful there are no computers in heaven." Because computers are made by man, they're flawed, and they always go down. Networks especially go down. So there's always going to be a place for Brother St. Clair. If he doesn't just do tech support here in Hinesville, he does tech support in all the churches in House of Prayer. They all call him. He's able to remote in and help them. He does it for our day school, plus several other day schools. And so there's always a place for him just keeping everything going. But beyond that, His mission has evolved now recently because he's helped us to connect to the entire world through the affiliate calls. St. Clair is an integral part of these affiliate calls where seminary students are able to connect with places all over the world, several places in Africa, Tanzania, Ghana, Nigeria, several places in India, Israel, London, all over the world. And that would not be possible without Brother St. Clair. Not only is he a part on the tech side, but he actually is hosting some of those calls now. Several of the ones, for instance, we have a ladies' fellowship every Wednesday. Brother St. Clair helps to host that and make sure everybody's connected. Without him, it'd be very hard. I know I personally could not keep up with all of that. And so, that man in the background, he really is a blessing.
Thank you, Reverend Labatt. On to you, Brother Carlos.
Brother St. Clair, it's good to have you with us today. Where did your journey begin, and how were you able to make those decisions?
I grew up in church, so my parents did teach me different scriptures, different things. And one of the things my dad impressed on me was the vanity of this life. The decision wasn't like a profound thing. It was more of a natural progression, just a rational understanding of what's going on. He had me read Ecclesiastes pretty young, that everything in this life is vanity. Just like Solomon said, like, there's nothing in this life that is worth living for. Like, there's nothing down here that matters. A man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. It's not how much you own, how much fame. None of that's going to matter. I remember it's 12 or 13, I don't remember, but there's a process I went through talking to my dad, talking about, oh yeah, I'm going to be rich like Bill Gates. I just aged myself, right? Bill Gates, he was the richest man at the time.
Right.
And my dad said, you don't want that. The man is chasing after money, and he's always worried who's going to come and take his money. Like, being rich isn't going to fix anything. You're still going to have that void inside. Just like with power, even. Like, I remember my dad talking about being president, you know, the most powerful man on the face of the earth. And I was like, yeah, I want to be president. So my dad took me aside and showed me pictures of all the presidents and showed me how they all aged in office. And I was like, ooh, yeah, never mind. I don't want to be a president. So seeing that, right, and following the natural vanity of things, it just becomes a natural decision.
In Ecclesiastes 1 verse 14, Solomon said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. When the Bible talks about life being vain, it means empty or valueless, marked by futility. When man tries to find completion and purpose in this life, he will invariably come up short until he looks up to heaven and accepts that life is about serving his Creator. Only then does life take on meaning. When we see all the things that are wrong in this world and all the shortcomings that we have in ourselves, it can bring us to a state of near hopelessness. Some people deny that there is a void within and press on in their struggle for meaning. But at some point, all people have to admit that they need something bigger than themselves to bring meaning and order to the chaos of this existence. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote down his wisdom so that we don't have to seek for the meaning of life ourselves. But often we disregard the truths of the Bible and keep banging our heads against the immovable wall of God's Word. Let's continue to listen as Brother St. Clair shares his journey to this realization.
So I remember there was a time I kind of lost, I got disoriented because I didn't have enough reality in God, and I knew that there was nothing else real down here. It had happened because I pursued education. I thought wisdom would help me, you know, understanding. Solomon pursued it, right? And I remember I was going to college, whatever, you know. I was the whiz kid. I was groomed for it, if you will. My parents groomed me. I did very well in the tests, like standardized testing, different things. Had a free ride to any state college for the state I grew up in. So I was going to one of the state colleges there, and my placement exams had me taking calculus and physics my freshman year. And I was like, this isn't it. Seeing the professors, different things. They weren't, I could tell, like, this is not it, you know. So I kind of stopped going to class, flunked out of that first semester, and I was like, kind of had a reality check, you know, like, no, I gotta do something better. I gotta do something now. So I got some student loans, try to go back a second semester, but they told me to get back in because I'd flunked out the first semester. I had to talk to the dean of the engineering college. So I was like, okay, well, all right, I don't know. So I went to his office thinking, you know, it's gonna be hard. I'm gonna have to make an appointment, come back later. And you could see it wasn't there.
How so?
Like, the office was, like, it was disorganized. There's files everywhere, right? It was kind of, you know, out of order. This is a major college. The dean of the engineering department, you know? So I was like, okay, this right. is, like, in my mind, it was elevated. And I asked the secretary, he's like, yo, no, you can see him today. Just have a seat. He'll be done here shortly. You know, I was like, okay. So I'm sitting there, and then I go in. And I remember, you know, I'm trying to do my best to motivate myself, get back into college, go get this engineering degree and become something, right? And he asked why, and I kind of explained to him, like, yeah, I just don't know, like, I'm kind of lost as to why. What's the reason for all of this? Why are we doing it? And his answer really, it kind of demotivated me, but it really did give me an insight to the end of things. Is that here he is, a dean of an engineering college, and he says, you know, I deal with the same thing too, but, you know, you should try exercise. I go swimming. Now, what he didn't know is that I was a long distance runner. But it didn't help. Like, it showed me the truth of it, that, like, even in the wisdom, it wasn't there. Like, understanding, knowledge, knowing how things work, it didn't give him any advantage over anybody else. He was the dean of an engineering college, and it didn't fulfill his life. He was telling me basically he had the same void that I did as an 18-year-old kid looking for purpose in life.
This realization is also found in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, where Solomon says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. He concludes in verse 17 that this results in vexation of spirit. He recognized that the more we learn, the more we realize the futility of trying to find meaning in this life. Verse 18 says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. In the end, he concludes that the wise man and the fool both experience the one event that is common to all, death. Let's hear as Brother St. Clair continues explaining the message of Ecclesiastes, that much study is a weariness of the flesh.
I forget the exact numbers, but I remember working in the medical profession, you find out certain things. And that in the United States, they have the highest suicide rates in the world. You'd think it'd be other places that are less well off, but in the U.S., they're the highest suicide rates, because I really believe it's because they get what they want, and they find out that it's empty. In other places of the world, they may not get that. There may still be a hope, like, if I get more money, or if I get this, or if I, you know. So in their mind, there's still something better to go after. But in the U.S., they get to a place in the world that they find out that there's nothing there.
So, would you say you got there?
To an extent, yes. Yes, that's where I was. Like, probably around the time I went to college. Because I was like, what is there? I'd had the opportunity to kind of look down towards the end of different paths of life, right? It kept me from a lot of, like, the pleasure route, like the drugs, partying, right? You know, and I saw it in other people. I was like, that's not it. That's not the way to live life. Like, it doesn't satisfy. They're always chasing another high, you know?
Yeah.
But then it kind of came to realize that, like, the other pursuits weren't that much different. They're still chasing a high in a different way.
Mm.
And the reality of life being harsh is you need something real that's not in this life. Because in the end, all of it's vanity. It's all empty, you know? Mm. I'm not trying to be depressing, you know? But it's just not here in this life. Like, it's not, you're not going to find it in the things of this life. They don't help. They don't fulfill what's in man.
At the end of this broadcast, we will show where we do get hope. But first, let's continue on our journey with Brother St. Clair. He went on to join the army as a medic, didn't find fulfillment in that, and eventually got out to continue his search. He started going back to church and found a purpose in serving God.
So how were you able not to follow those careers?
So after the military, used the medical training, started working medical office, could have gone nursing, other directions perhaps, but really my reason for living, my passion, had become to serve God. And not that you can't serve God in those fields, but for me it wasn't the path to go. It's hard to say. Again, it's kind of a natural progression from where I was. Like, I'd already seen where those ended, and they'd become a means to an end. The end wasn't a nursing career or to make money or to advance myself. It became to advance God and His kingdom. And it wasn't about Brother St. Clair, if you will. Because in the end, it's not going to matter. And it's not a matter of who I am or what I've done in this life. In the end, we just have to go each day until we make it. And when we are in His presence, there'll be fullness of joy.
Mm.
Where that void will be filled forever. And that's where you'll find the real peace and the real joy, is in His presence, not in something you're going to accomplish down here. So when you think of it that way, it's easy. It's like you're actually pursuing, everything down here becomes a means.
There is coming a day when all the vanity of this life will pass away, and a perfect world will replace this corrupt one. We just have to make it there. Instead of looking for things to get better down here, we have to lay up our hope in the world to come. We then use our skills and abilities not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of God's coming kingdom. Let's continue to hear as Brother St. Clair shares his thoughts on life.
For our listeners, can you share an experience that highlighted the impact of your work?
I don't know if it's in the Bible, but it's something I've endeavored to live by. I can't say I've made it 100%. Is to forget the good you've done. Because in the end, it was a means. You're an unprofitable servant. But to remember your faults, because those are the ones that are going to trip you up. And not to be discouraging again, but in the end, what will matter is God and His glory, and perhaps in those that you've helped. But I don't remember things I honestly can't. I can't think of something that would really... It's not about my work. That's the thing. That's the word I'm looking for. It's not about my work.
From your experience, how can someone find fulfillment in being in the background?
People have different roles, and you need different people that are so-called in the foreground. But in the end, everyone's in the background, and God's in the foreground. Because it's not in, again, my work. It's not in what I've done. It's not in what I know. It's in God's glory. Because whatever you know, God knows more. Whatever you've done, God's done more.
Right.
Whatever you, however you help, God's helped more. The focus is not about me or what I've done or even how I feel or think. It's about the glory of God. And for those days when it can seem particularly heavy and you're unnoticed and you could deal with some comfort, is that it won't always be this way. There are lots of promises in the Bible, and perhaps we haven't even talked about them much in this one, that there is a glory for those who serve God and love Him. There is a rest for them. There is that fullness of joy, the end of the vanity that's inside of man that makes everything that doesn't, you know, that void, right? That you can't fill with anything else in this life. So the encouragement would be, there's going to come a day when whatever work you've done will be rewarded.
It won't always be this way. There is an appointed end that is approaching rapidly. Many people seek to fulfill the unhappiness and discord in their life through planning for a better future. They plan on moving to a better place, getting a better job, or obtaining a higher education in the hopes that they can fill that nagging void in their heart. Most people believe that if they can just add something else to their life, they will be fulfilled. But when that thing is obtained, its joy only lasts for a short time before the void in their life surfaces again. Solomon has taught us that the only way to obtain a sense of purpose is through serving God. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, he summarizes the entire book by saying, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." When we fulfill our duty, we have a sense of joy here in this life, but we have a greater expectation of being with God in the eternal life that is to come. Jesus taught us that we cannot even imagine the joy that will fill all those that make it to heaven. This is the hope of the Christian. Brother St. Clair has shown us this week that all the members of the body of Christ don't have the same role. Some are noticed, and others are hidden in the background, but all are equal in their work for the kingdom of God. When God's kingdom comes to fruition on earth, we will all share in the peace and joy. Our work will be rewarded. So don't let anything stop you from finding your place in the work of God. Just grab an oar and help us row this gospel ship towards Beulah Land. We don't accept donations of money, but we covet earnestly your prayers. Pray for us, with us, and for this world. And as always, this broadcast is dedicated to Mariah Dennis, in the background, but always in the fight.
If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we invite you to call our international prayer request line. It is available toll-free in several languages. There is someone standing by, 24/7, ready to pray with you. Call 1-833-772-9482. That's 1-833-772-9482. And see the difference prayer can make in your life.